B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Zone.
The line by insiders, Kopitar gave it away. Here's a breakaway for Bergeron. Wheels into the slot, shoots, and he missed a target. Bergeron trying to track it down. Dowdy shoveled it over to the far side. Now you got Kopitar over the line, far side, 2-on-1. Kopitar shoots, he scores. He threw it over the blocker hand of Rask. And the Kings victorious 4-3 in overtime over the Bruins.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson covers the Boston Bruins. And I have to ask
Good
you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
I have to ask you if what you thought of that Roy goal.
The one that tied it up. Yeah, not the winning game.
You know, I think Bruce Cassidy said it best. You know, loved to get a save. And Tuca said he didn't see it, but he needs to make that save. What I think about it, it's a shame. I mean, there was a couple of things. The puck gets in deep. All right, they pull the goalie. Johnny Moore has the puck go around the wall. Doesn't, you know, isn't able to get it out. And then the Bruins... I know you give the puck away, or you give the shot from the outside like that, and I don't disagree with anybody, you know, especially Bruce, talking about how you'd like that save from there. And what I think about it, I think, you know, look, the LA Kings, I talked to their coaches. I know their coaches real well, but talking before the game, and they said, look, we are what we are. Like, they're rebuilding, they're remodeling, they're doing everything there. They got a couple of old school players that you'd love, the Kopitar, the Doughtys, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You love those guys. They're bringing it. Dustin Brown's trying. He's not the most fleet of foot, but he's busting ass. And they said, you'll watch. He said, look, we might not always win, but our kids are working hard, and they're working to please, and they're working to make stay in the league. And it wasn't a pretty game. They did that. They got the puck. They retrieved the puck. They shot the puck on net, and that's how they scored their goals, flooding the front of the net. Tuca says he didn't pick it up. Doesn't he have it? You know, he didn't see it. He wants to make that save. Not being a former goalie, all I would say is, yeah, I'd love to see him make that save.
Yeah, because no one tipped it, and it didn't seem like there was a ton of action right in front of him.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was the higher screen or higher bodies that he lost it on.
So they are obviously bad in overtime. They're 2-7 in extra time. It includes 2-for-3 in OTs and 0-for-4 in shootouts.
Yeah.
So... I guess 2-for-3 in OTs isn't bad. So I was going to ask you whether you would switch up the pairings or the three.
Oh, the overtimes.
That seems to be fine.
The shootouts, we don't even, you know, that is what it is. I mean, look, we saw Pastrnak 2 games ago get that penalty shot, and he's such a different player taking the penalty shot.
He really is.
Than when he is just free-flowing. It's free-form versus structure.
Well, that's the thing is that overtime, I love 3-on-3, but overtime is basically just a bunch of breakaways.
Well, it's whoever turns it over pretty much gets punished.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean,
puck
there are times.
Puck possession is king.
Yeah, puck possession is king, but then, I mean, if you lose the puck, then there's a good... There's odd man rushes and there's breakaways.
Yeah.
So... Has there been, there's so many problems with hockey right now, but has there been any talk, does the league still love shootouts? Even though I don't think it's made the league any more popular.
When the shootout came into being originally, it gave it a big boost because people said, and I've never been, I was okay with ties. I was, all right? Because I'm old and I'm a fuddy-duddy. I'm okay with them, but after an overtime, mind you,
right?
But when shootouts came into play, it did give the league a big boost, believe it or not, because people said, this is awesome. It's this one-on-one, and it gives you a winner, a clear-cut winner. Okay, fine. A couple of years later, people realized, we've talked about it. It's like home run derby. It's like passing the football through the hoop.
It's
you know
not
what
the
I mean?
Best it's, player. It's
a skills competition.
Yeah, well, and not even that, is that, like you said, your best goal scorer, who's Pastrnak, I don't believe it. I mean, he's not your number one penalty shot guy.
And Jaromir Jagr was the same way. Your boy Yags, he was the same way. He hated taking penalty shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's not your best player.
I understand. But
then it's just like you have a bunch of specialists. I mean, you're down. They're using defensemen.
I get it. I get it.
Like Bergeron, it barely factors into these things.
I'm with you on all this. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I have never been a real fan. I've ever been a fan of it. The league and the PA have to determine, will they allow for overtime to go further? Would they allow it to go to 7-8 minutes? And or would they allow it, you know, do they people were people being the league was concerned that the star players would then play too much because they'd be exposed more and more in overtime. Now the Bruins roll 8 guys in overtime. They're playing right. A lot of, not all teams do that.
But that's another thing. I'm saying. But that's hockey.
I'm with you. Look,
no, I know, but I'm just, we're debating the league right now. I'm not debating you.
Yeah, the league and the PA. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know the Players Association doesn't want.
And they also don't
players.
Want to extend games. Meaning, if you go, let's say a 4-on-4, then a 3-on-3 overtime, and then you have a shootout. For me personally, I'd love to see 7 to 10 minutes of 3-on-3. I think you would get a winner 90% of the time.
Right. Yeah.
And
no
then
question.
Tie.
And if they don't want to wear down stars, well, you can't play your stars an entire game anyway.
Exactly.
What's it matter if you play a couple more minutes? I mean, you're talking about a couple more minutes,
right? And then play your overtime, and then end it.
Yeah,
and then don't go to the shootout. But that's me. I have found, and this is I've asked the league and stuff about this. The younger generation absolutely is good with the shootout, no matter what.
All right.
Defined winner, loser. They want that.
All right. Well, just to change gears, yep. Everyone talks about this team needing more scoring away from the perfection line, although there's been, you know, a little bit as of late, but Ilya Kovalchuk is now officially a free agent.
Yeah.
There was a report that came out of Canada that said he wants to sign with a contender. He'd be okay with a minimum salary. And then another report saying that the Brewers are interested. He's 36 years old. This year he had three goals, nine points.
It was Igor somebody or other who put that report out there. I don't know if that's his agent or if that was – I don't think – it's not his agent. Somebody else.
Trust me, this was not from TSN. Yeah. This was a guy that has like several thousand followers. But I mean, I wouldn't put it past Ilya Kovalchuk to want to sign with a contender
for money.
The Bruins part of it, I'm not quite sure.
I don't think it's a big fit for the Bees.
Well, Joe made a good point is how does that affect the other lines?
Well, just to put it this way,
he's a liability on defense.
He was a minus 26 last year. Now, he had 16 goals and 34 points, but I mean, when he's on the ice.
I've known Ilya since he was a rookie.
Of course.
I was with him in Atlanta, as you guys were too.
Is he still with that girl?
He's married. He's got 4 children.
He's still with the same girl?
Well, he wasn't with her in Atlanta right away, but she was a Russian singer.
Yeah, the blonde girl.
They're all blonde.
The only reason I remember is because I won a pinball machine.
Oh, well, all I know is that he is happily married and he has at least 3, if not 4 children. Had a mega place down in Florida. I mean, you can pull it up. It's like some ginormous
place. Oh, no
place.
Question.
And he's more than happy to play for the minimum salary of I think it's a paltry prorated $700,000 because he just made another $2.65 million in bonus that got paid 2 days ago.
Wow.
So he's giving up $4.25 in salary for next year. Not he's giving up, meaning the Kings, by terminating his contract. They have to pay his full salary cap hit, which is $6
million. Oh, jeez.
But in actual cash, he's only owed over the rest of his deal four point whatever because they've paid bonuses and everything already now. So now that's why he's more than happy to play for the league minimum. Yes, he wants to play for a contender. I know that he wants to stay in North America. He has a lucrative offer from a KHL team to go back there. He wants to stay in North America. His family wants to stay preferably in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They've enjoyed it there, I'm told. And with regard to the Bruins, it's not just, I mean, first of all, he's a right shot, but he prefers the left side. You've already got a plethora of left wingers. You need a right winger.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all the things that you, Fred, Joey, you talk about. I mean, I love Ilya. I've known him forever. I don't see it being a major fit here when it's all said and done. Could they take a flyer on him? They might. I don't know yet their contract status, meaning you're only allowed 50 contracts in one year.
Yeah.
So I have to look up and
is he bad on defense or is he bad on defense on that team?
Oh, he's bad on defense. He has no interest in
playing defense. If he came here, how much would that change?
Well, he would have to work very hard. He's not the fleetest of foot either. It's a different type of game that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
This game now in the NHL, he can produce in from a certain way. I don't see it being a up and down game for Kovalchuk. I just don't. I don't see that being the team's. I see that being one of the team's last options after Donnie, who is so creative. And look, last year, Marcus Johansson, Charlie Coyle pulled the trigger on Coyle a little earlier, then Johansson at trade deadline.
Great moves.
Great moves that didn't really hurt you.
Yep.
At all.
Yeah.
And I know people might say, some might say, well, you're not going to lose anything, but every dollar counts.
Sure.
Every dollar counts in the salary cap world, especially if you want to then make a move come trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And B, every contract counts. So now if you want to start signing guys and this, that, again, they may only be at 47 contracts. So maybe they have.
So you're just saying he's not worth it. Like, he's not worth the spot.
Right now, I don't see it being the bright play for the team.
Well, Scott wants to educate us, Rich and I, about hockey. And so, Scott, please begin your thesis.
Yes. Let me know when I'm on the air. Am I on?
Yes, you are on, Scott.
Okay. With all due respect, hockey, you're over your head talking hockey with me. I won't get into why. I'm going to hit
No, please. Why? No, why? Why? We actually do want to know.
Okay. I played it since I was 4 years old, right through high school. My family went to almost the NHL, played in Hockey East.
Hang on. You played through high school?
Well, no, my family.
No, you, but you said that you played all the way through high school?
Well, 5 years old through high school, Division I in Weymouth, yeah. My family, though.
My son's played baseball since he's 4 years old. He probably should call in.
Hold on. You're going to end up dropping the call.
No, I like you, Scott. Yeah.
I won't drop my last name, but my uncle was drafted by the Bruins. He's the ninth, you can look it up, ninth all-time leading scorer at Northeastern.
Well, how can we look it up if you won't give us his name?
Ninth all-time leading scorer in Northeastern. It hasn't changed in 15 years. Look it up.
All right.
Well, how the hell am I going to find that?
Northeastern. Pretty easy. It's called Google. Northeastern University.
Why don't you just tell us so we don't have to Google?
All right, here we go. Let's get on point. We don't want to bore our listeners.
No, I'm actually fairly enthralled by your...
Don't bore our listeners. All right, here we go.
I am entertaining, I got to admit. All right, the Bruins are good. But they're not as good as their record.
What were we wrong about, Scott? Hang on.
Scott, said you were going to educate us.
What were we wrong about?
I have so many points. How much time do I have? And I'll act accordingly.
Scott, you are just the most round. You're like rat.
Just stop asking questions and tell us what were we wrong about.
Overtime should be 4-on-4, not 3-on-3.
All right. Very good. Thank God you played. We're the only show he hasn't been banned from, apparently.
Oh, Dixie, I like that guy.
Well,
so we were wrong about our opinion of something that exists.
Yes, okay. Well, something about hockey, about how long you played it is fantastic.
I mean, it's
gotten to Joe, too, because Joe has to, like, he always goes, well, I didn't play. Like,
I got another hot take for Billy when we come back.
All right. My son's been playing baseball for 7 years. He could come on here and tell you everything that you need to know.
I played through high school.
Yeah. Man, I played baseball through
high school. My hands are in the air.
I released them, man.
I played at North Farms in high school, Detroit Country Day. I could tell you anything you need to know. All right. We'll be back. By the way, we have Pat's tickets to give away at 9:30, and we have Jake DeBrusse who's going to join us.
Oh, very nice.
9:35.
98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. 9:30. We have tickets to see the Patriots. And then 9:35-ish, we're going to have Mr. Jake DeBrusk on. Now, Joe Murray teasing the hot take. Billy Jaffe from Nesson in studio. Yeah, what do we got going?
All right. Before I get to the take, just to bring up last night's game, you guys mentioned the 3-on-3 and then the breakaways. Bjork and Bergeron. Yeah. Bergeron missed. I thought Quick was outstanding last night. But
he's so different and is so athletic in his style.
Yeah,
but I'm crazy.
What is it with timely saves for Tuukka Rask? And obviously there wasn't a shot on net in a while there, but on the Kopitar goal,
he was saying. That's what he said. He said, you know, I need to make timely saves. Now, last night, he owned it.
We talked about Kopitar already.
Okay, all right, we're over that.
What's your take?
No, he's saying about timely saves. He's saying about Tuca.
I'm just getting on Tuca again. All right, I think Charlie McAvoy's...
He's been awesome lately.
I had three assists in the last couple of games here, but just I think he's just overhyped. Zero goals for this guy. Yep. He's projected to be the next big defenseman.
He's been awesome the last couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks or so. I mean, he's
What am I not seeing that you see?
Yeah,
you,
that's a good point.
Because Chara plays better and he's 43 years old or whatever. Like, it just, I look, what does he do that we're supposed to expect that he's so great at? Is he an offensive defenseman? Is he a defensive defenseman?
The question about the offense is legit, and you wonder if he doesn't start, if he isn't able to produce like a Drew Doughty, like who we saw last night, then, you know, can he get to that next level of being a great overall defenseman? I don't know. We need to see more of that, no question. The way he skates, he can control the game in many ways. He recovers for other players an awful lot. He's leading breakouts. He's assisting on breakouts. He's being more physical. You don't see him being more physical. Well, every game now. In the last, I think it's six games, it's been, 24 plus, up to 28 minutes. Yeah. You need, every team needs a horse. And it's just like you need that confidence in your goalies. You need a horse on that back end.
But, Billy, if he continues to struggle offensively, how does that affect his salary? Like, how does that affect teams
right now?
Going
it will
after?
Not right now. It won't affect his salary at all. As you know, he signed a 3-year deal.
Right. If he continues at this,
then he won't see it. He's in his last year of his 3-year deal, Fred. He's $7 million.
Right.
So then after that, his qualifying offer will be $7 million. If he adds the offensive element, and I'll just throw out 40 points.
Okay.
Then you'll see that jump
right
even more. If he doesn't, now we're looking ahead to 3 years from now, I'm guessing it won't jump that much. Now you can still impact games in other ways, but for a guy who's
wanting
to play 26 minutes,
you just compared him to a great defenseman,
all around defenseman. Doughty's, I love the old school attitude of Drew Doughty. I love it. I love the swagger he's got back there, the confidence that he brings. I talking to the assistant coach, who a good friend of mine who coaches the defense for the LA Kings. His name's Trent Yanni. I said, what's it been like? Former NHL defenseman himself. I said, coaching Doughty. He said it's great. He goes about things differently, but when he wants to be on the ice with the puck on his stick in all situations, and I certainly
do differently?
He's got a little more ruggedness to his game, a little more, to it. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. You know what I mean? He's got, we were watching him last night. He hacks, he whacks, he jabs. He's got a little dirty to his game.
Yeah.
And he's just got a little bit of that. It's just a swagger confidence to it that it's almost hard. I think you guys understand when you just see every athlete have that at that next level. It's that compete. Now, Charlie, again, I go back to the last six games where I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I feel like I'm seeing, and I know the guys that I work with, seeing a different level from Charlie, especially the physical element and the real that drive, that stride is back. Now the last piece of that puzzle is the offensive element. There's no question about it. He's been shooting a bit more.
It's six shots last night.
Yeah, he's been shooting a bit more, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But now it can't be a 10-day thing. We want to see it for, years.
All right, Billy. So, weird moment earlier this week. I think it might have been, I forget, it was Monday or maybe even end of last week.
Okay.
But
where was this moment?
It was at the Hockey Hall of Fame, USA Hall of Fame. It was when they were interviewing Tim Thomas. Oh. And Tim Thomas, for the first time, speaks. And that was obviously one of the more sobering, informative, interesting, and nobody knew what he was up to, where he was.
Right.
And now we're learning, obviously, about how he's telling everyone that he has brain damage. And he's been dealing with that ever since a big hit when he was down in Florida. When he dropped the puck for that game in Washington, and the Bruins were playing that day, it was weird hearing the comments from the players from the Bruins. It doesn't seem like any of them were really close to him. What do you know about their relationship and how they've been with Tim since he's been gone?
From what little I know, it's been not existent at all for many people. That goes for in the locker room, outside the room, just not a lot of knowledge of where he's at. And if people knew where he was at, there wasn't much knowledge of what he was doing, or at least talk about it.
Yeah.
The comments that, see, I didn't really so much hear the players' comments so much as I heard Timmy's comments afterwards, where he said he got a lot out of being with the guys, especially the guys from the 11 and, you know, 11, 12, 13 team.
Yeah.
The six, we'll call them the core, the six, you know, guys.
Right.
How much he got out of it. He didn't realize how much he missed it, and he didn't realize how much he would, you know, almost need that or get out of it there. Mm-hmm. That was interesting because to me, that's still the greatest thing. I can't. You guys got to understand. You know that. I mean, you don't have to play. Maybe you have to play sports. I don't mean at the NHL level, but you got a camaraderie, a connection with buddies that you go through things with. That
especially if you win with them.
Especially when you win and you sit down with them, and if you're maybe not the best friends, but there's a, I don't know. I find a love in the heart for that. You know those guys. And,
yeah. It's like my Pinochle Club.
That's a good point. That's what I was thinking. Yes. Your Mahjong. Yes.
That's right, my Mahjong, baby.
I think, you know, relationship-wise, I think he had some unique relationships with people.
Yeah.
That's how I would...
Well, back in the day, like, he was never even, like, a media-savvy guy, too. He didn't like talking to the press too much. He
never
did
looked
because
comfortable,
he had to,
never
no.
sounded comfortable. Still doesn't seem sound comfortable. And he also has different affects when he talks, too. He does. Yeah. Cadence is different, so that doesn't always come off, translate. But he never seemed that comfortable. But yet, I talked to a few guys that covered him. Because in 11, I was with the NHL Network and MSG, and I was actually... I covered the entire Cup, and I had... wonderful, when I say ins with the Bruins, everybody's nice to me, but I wasn't part of the regular crew like I am here.
Yeah. Now.
So I didn't know Timmy that well then. But the guys that covered him those few years, I did come, all, you know, my first year was part-time in 12,
yeah.
covering the team. But the guys that have really covered him, two or three of the writers, all said nothing but good stuff dealing with him. I think he's a very, when he's comfortable with you, it was he would give you the time and he would give you answers that he was always thoughtful about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's what guys.
All right. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line is 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills this Saturday, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans two times the points on any size coffee, so don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. We'll break, and when we come back, we'll hopefully be talking to Mr. Jake DeBrusk.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson in studio. He loves to hit people in the back. Cheap shot artist.
No, it's a love tap. Yeah, I'll show you a cheap shot.
When you least expect.
Are you insinuating that you could beat me up, Billy? I don't.
Never. I am not a violent person.
Yeah, well, that makes one of us. Because I'll throw down the drop of the hat, but I got brass knuckles and Chinese throwing stars. All right. We are very pleased to be joined by our friend Jake DeBrusk.
A man who just got his 100th career point this week, I think. I believe that's the case. Is that not, Jake?
It is. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on. How's it going?
Yeah, well, Gretzky used to do that more than that in just a season. You know, don't pat yourself
on... 200.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
yeah.
200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things are going well. That a tough loss last night.
Well, yeah. Obviously, wasn't the result that we wanted. You know, it was a tight game. They tied up late, and you know, obviously, won in overtime. So, anytime it kind of gets that extra frame, it's kind of 50-50. So, obviously, disappointing that we didn't get the win, but at least we got a point. And,
All right.
So, I want to ask them about last night because Jonathan Quick had a massive save on you. I mean, it was one of those that was just like, it was pretty ridiculous. And do you ever, when you get stoned like that and you think that you've got it and just, do you ever go back and watch that? Or is it one of those things, like, are you a sadist and watch, like, God, what could I have done better? Or do you just kind of one of those guys that you let that go and what's in the past is in the past?
Yeah, you just pretty much let it go. I mean, I got the wood and, you know, what I wanted on the shot. And, when he made the save originally, I just, you know, you got to tip your hat at the same time. I mean, if I could do that shot, I'd probably obviously change it by a couple inches so it would go in the net. But, you know, it's one of those things that he made some pretty good saves and some pretty good players last night. He's a very good goaltender. And I haven't seen the shot again, to be honest. I usually try to stay away from when I miss. But it's one of those things that you just got to tip your hat. I mean, like I said, I like where I put it.
Okay, if you do something really well, like if you have like a cool goal, will you like turn on the NHL Network or like ESPN to see if they're playing it?
No, not really.
Oh, please. So if you...
I mean, it's funny how it works, though. It's funny how it works. You know, you try to dodge as much as possible when it's, you know, not going your way.
And right.
Seem to show up a little more when, you know, you do score, you know, you do have success, I guess. I mean, I won't lie about that, but... It's not like I go out there fishing looking for it.
All right, okay, wait a second here. It's human nature. I mean, if you do something that's, like, spectacular, I mean, you got it. I mean, if you know people are talking about it, you want to check it out. It's nice to hear people say good things about you. You got to like that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely nice. I mean, that's preferred, I guess. But you got to do the spectacular thing first, right? So it's a matter of just doing it. And then,
oh, baby, you're spectacular. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but once it gets, like, on social media, I mean, I do see it because I get tagged in it and tagged in different things. So, like I said, it's not really avoidable, I guess, but I don't go looking for it because, you know, it's one of those things where you can look on social media and it's either really positive or it's really negative.
You ever want to beat someone up on social media for real?
Well, I'd like to see them in person.
Yes.
And I don't know what would happen after that, but, yeah, people I would, yeah.
Because Marchand has said that he has... he said to me when I was interviewing him that he has like really considered using resources to find out who certain people are. There is that fantasy as a player to actually like get face to face with these people. There is.
Sometimes, yes. I mean, there's always going to be haters and, you know, non-believers. I think especially for Marsh, I mean, he's got, you know, obviously he's a, you know, fan favorite here, but if he doesn't play for any other team, I think that, all those teams, fans hate him. So, I mean, that's his role, right? So, I mean, it's one of those things where he's probably got a little more heat coming his way. But he sometimes chirps a little bit, on Twitter. He's pretty funny with that stuff. I think it'd be nice if we had freedom to reply whatever we actually want to reply, but, you know, you can pretty much just say whatever you want on that, social media if you're, you know, not verified or not, you know, where we are, I guess.
Well, that would take you down a road you don't want to go if you started replying to them.
It gets messy.
Just beat them up.
Just find them and beat them up. Yeah. It's much easier.
It's much easier. Much less time, much less brain cells.
Find them. Just get some resources and find them. That's
Roenick did. Roenick found a guy and went to his house.
Yep, Jeremy Roenick actually, he lived the dream.
He found out who a guy was, and he went to the guy's house and knocked on the guy's door, and the guy answered the door.
They probably
I never
him.
Knew about that.
Oh, yeah. He was, I mean, you know, I don't think he was, I think he got very nice very quickly.
Yeah, fawned all over.
when Roenick answered the door.
I want to know, when you're going against a guy like Jonathan Quick, who is such a different style, Jake, than just about any goalie remaining in the NHL, how difficult is that? And besides the fact that he's good, it's just... He does things that perhaps you're not going to expect. Like you would think some goalies would drop. Meanwhile, he makes a glove save like that. He's not going to butterfly. He's going to the old school, you know, Gilles Gilbert, Pete Peters type save right there.
Yeah, I think, you know, you do lots of pre-scouting, obviously, on goalies before the games. You know, we have, like, our sheets and things like that and tendencies that they do. And like you said, one of the tendencies is that he's, you know, unorthodox in the sense of, he's his own style. So, you know, as a shooter coming down on him, you try to, you know, figure it out, I guess, when in the heat of the moment, it's pretty tough. He's good at cutting down angles. So, you understand that you kind of need to get the shot off, you know, pretty quick and you need to put it in a great spot to pretty much beat him, especially off the first shot. And, you know, it's just one of those things where he's really good down low as well. So if you get a breakaway, you can't really, you know, beat him on the ice. So you got to kind of raise it. So, my focus going into the game was just trying to put it upstairs. In a good spot. You know, I think I had another look too where I tried to go blocker and he did the same thing. He kind of went one knee down and cut down the angle. He was way outside the crease and, you know, there's a reason why he's been one of the best in the league, obviously. And, you know, it'd be nice to score one of those, but, you know, it's just one of those things that as a player you just try to adjust to on the fly, I guess. It also comes to situation, too, of where the shots are coming from, right? So it depends on kind of what happens in the game.
What's your opinion of Billy Jaffe's analysis on Nesson?
I think it's amazing, actually. I think it's one of the best in the league.
You know, Marchand called Haggerty fat.
Yeah. Well, that's Marshy, so that's what Marshy sometimes does.
But it was just funny. Like, Haggerty said funny, something, right? And Marchand was just like, all right, fatso.
Well, he went on that, I think it was last year, there's like a week where he was tweeting like five times every day, and he was just replying savage replies to anybody.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
And then I asked...
We were talking to him, telling him to take off his Twitter because it was like, might get out of hand. But it was, like you said, I thought it was kind of funny. I think even Joe Haggerty had a good reply to it, too. So
yeah, they were going back and forth. I don't know if it was all in fun, but yeah. But they were having fun going back and forth.
And you talked about how in any other team, like, you know, everyone hates Brad Marchand unless he's on your team. When you guys are out and about, like in other cities, do you guys hear it from just people on the street, especially when you're around Marchand?
No, it's actually the opposite. He's pretty well known, obviously, like around the league. And, you know, when we go, you know, go for dinners and things like that, people recognize him, obviously. And it's actually the complete opposite. When, like you said, when it's face-to-face, I don't think what they say on Twitter, but I don't think everyone also is a hater. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that. There's definitely lots of Boston fans all over the world, but he's very recognizable, so it's actually the other way around, which, you know, some people don't believe.
Yeah, I think that when you see someone that you watch on TV or in the arena in person, it, like, is more of a thrill than it is, you know, you kind of remember that it's entertainment.
You hope.
Yeah, you know. I don't know.
You hope.
Yeah,
you hope.
Are you a watcher of games? Like, when you're injured, not that I ever want you to be injured again, Jake, but when you're out, Do you watch games? Are you that type? Some guys watch them, but they don't listen to anything. They don't listen to the analysis. They just, you know. Or some guys watch everything. Which one are you?
I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, I used to watch hockey pretty consistently. You know, obviously a big fan of the game, and I used to watch pretty much as many games as I could. But this year, I've been kind of the other way around. Like, when I was hurt, the only game that I'd watch would be our games. So, but I'd listen to the analysis and everything like that, and all the, you know, the replays and things. But obviously, just want to see how the boys are doing. You know, it's one of those things where you obviously want to be playing. So, anytime that kind of gets taken away from you because you're injured, you know, it sucks, and you just want to get back out there and see how the boys are doing. It's kind of just one of those things that I feel like is normal. But I don't really watch too many other games, to be honest with you.
Well, Jake DeBrusk, who is very wealthy, a land baron to be in Canada, a man who's right. You're going to be a land baron.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah,
one of these days.
If you can deal with non criminals, you will be a land baron. And we always appreciate it. Have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year. And we look forward to talking to you as the season goes on.
Are you jetting home for the 2.5 days, 3 days, or no?
Yes, I am.
You going to get mom's cherry cheesecake?
Oh, you know it, man. I miss that. You know it, yeah. I go home. I've gone home, I think, last 4 years, ever since I've turned pro. So, so I'm going home. You guys have a great holidays as well. And, you know, happy Christmas, I guess. Thanks, boys.
All right. Thank you so much.
You, man.
Mr. DeBrusk. Thank you so much. All right. When we come back, I want to hear about this Motley Crue situation.
Oh, yeah.
That you teased in the 6 o'clock hour, I have not forgotten.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a wonderful holiday.
You too, Billy. Enjoy it.
What?
You going away?
I'm going to my parents' house, yeah.
Okay. You're going away, I know, tomorrow.
I am. Yep. Going away. Well, no, not till this week.
You're here for until Wallach.
Until he kicks you out of the
Wallach, great to hear him yesterday. Johnny, great to hear your voice.
Yeah, maybe he thanks me for the book next time. Now, now, do you do Hanukkah and Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah.
All right.
We do both. Happy, healthy, everything to everybody. Great to be on with you guys, and we'll see you, I guess, in 2 weeks.
Yep. See you then.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks, all right, thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. We will be back with all the news that's fit to print about Motley Crue.
You're listening to Fletcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah,
I'd be fist pumping though. I don't care.
Oh, I'm going to that.
Are you kidding me? I'm not going to miss this.
No, I'll go with you.
I'll go here.
I'm going.
We'll get black t-shirts. We'll get black tank tops. Seriously, headbands, black tank tops. Okay. I'll grow my hair out that month.
All right.
No, I want to go. I want to do this like...
Okay. All right. So what did they... What's up?
I'm going to wipe her hands.
Okay. Okay. What do they have to do?
All right. So this is great. So their agent, Alan Kovac, who has been, I guess, managing them for 26 years, which couldn't have been easy at all. He was being asked, like, there was a lot of questions, I guess, from this press conference that he did that addressed, I love how this is written. Kovac also addressed criticism of Cruise singer Vince Neil for his supposed diminished singing ability and weight gain.
Supposed.
I think it's fair.
The thing about Vince, though, is that he's been, like, bloated for... I mean, 25 years?
Well, of course he has. But, I mean, now it's, I mean, almost impossible to recognize Vince Neil. So they also talked about the health status of Mick Mars as well as Nikki Six. Not Nikki Six, Tommy Lee. And he said, quote, some of them are working with a trainer now. Some are required to work with a trainer. Some of them are working with a nutritionist to make themselves the best they can be. And some are required to be with a nutritionist. So it sounds like they made an agreement. Dude, you're fat. You got to go to it or we're not going on tour. They said the greatest insecurity for artists is anyone going to care about my music? Is anyone going to buy a ticket? He said, let's see what Vince sings like and looks like when the tour goes out. So they're just crossing their fingers.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a guy a nutritionist. It doesn't mean anything.
But it sounds like he's being required. Like, some of them have one, and it's being suggested. But I had read this before, that there was an agreement that the band made that we aren't going to do this unless, Vince, you lose 40 pounds.
Well, that was the thing is that... But they fought over it. So apparently the big argument between the guys was that... they asked Vince to lose 40 pounds, and he said, I won't do it unless Tommy goes to rehab.
Yep.
And then Tommy says, no, you go to rehab. And what? This is going to be a disaster. You think this... Like, you think that either of them is going to do anything?
No, and it's going to be great.
No, Tommy's going to be... Tommy and Vince are going to be drunk every night.
Every night.
And who knows what else they do. I didn't even know that was Shout at the Devil.
I guess it is.
Because, like, I'm assuming...
Shout at the Devil food cake.
I'm assuming...
Did you ever hear the Tommy Lee stories, like, when they went on tour, and they were on tour with Ozzy, too?
When they snorted
the stuff, pants.
The stuff out at... the stuff they would do to gross each other out.
You would love their autobiography, The Dirt. It is... It's an oral history. You would love it.
Yeah, they're not good people.
Yeah.
There's this Tales from the Bus that Mike Judge does, and the one on George Jones is just...
He was a maniac.
Literally
a maniac.
Oh, yeah.
Old school country stories are insane.
Yeah, they did Waylon Jennings, too. Still love her. they're all going to stop. Vince has got that cocaine fat, you can stay up for 3 days drinking. All right. I don't know if he does cocaine.
What is that?
Hey. He wants us to get out of here.
The Hot Box Sports Headlines.
All right, what do you got going today?
Burt Breer, I think, is in from 11 to 1.
Right.
Burt today. I think we have a head coach in the Celtics. I'm not sure. I think we moved the time. I think it's 12:20, not 12:50.
Big game tonight.
Big one.
I don't think Luka's playing, though.
And I will talk to Danny Ainge tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Taco!
Guys, have a great rest of the year. Happy holidays.
All right, Rich.
Good year, Rich.
Safe travels, buddy boy.
Thank you, guys.
Joe Murray, Adam Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.